Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please come with me to Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 16 in a moment. Galatians 5, verse 16. It may also help you to find this piece of paper entitled Graduate to Fruitfulness with Self-Control. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you will abide in me and I abide in you, then you will produce much fruit. Now, what was he talking about? What kind of fruit? You see, the fruit he was describing is the fruit of his character. The Lord Jesus has a singular goal for each of our lives, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. He wants to remake your interior value system, your vision, even your vocabulary. He wants to make it into Christ-likeness. He wants you to live out the life that Jesus died to provide for you. He wants you to live a life full of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look on your outline. And self-control. Self-control. You see, the last fruit of the Spirit is so important. It's where we'll focus today, because that fruit of the Spirit ties all the rest of them together. That fruit of the Spirit unleashes you to be a lover for the Lord. It unleashes you to become a person of faith and faithfulness, of kindness and gentleness. So I want us to focus on self-control, because I believe that it is the key. As a matter of fact, please make this note, the key to peak performance is self-discipline or self-control. I heard a fun story about this fella. These two guys had gone ice fishing. They were out there in Wisconsin. They were ice fishing. And one time I did that with my brother-in-law in Wisconsin. I really did it twice. That was the first and last time. But we were out there fishing in sub-zero weather and not really having any fun. But these guys were having a blast. One of them was just catching one fish after the other. And in the adjacent hole, Bob was catching zero. So finally, Bob said to Joe, he said, I don't understand. What is going on here? You're catching all of these fish. You've caught over 50. I've caught zero. What's the difference? And his buddy said, his friend said, what did you say? He reached up to his mouth and said, you got to keep the worms warm. You see, self-discipline is distasteful, but it is highly productive. So that's what I want you to think about today, because some of you lack self-discipline. Now, I discovered that if you want to excel in academics or athletics, self-discipline is required. If you want to excel in music or in your marriage or in managing your money, self-discipline is required. If you want to excel in your work, if you want to excel in your walk with God, self-discipline is required. So today, we'll focus on the last fruit of self-discipline. Now, as we come to Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 16, because we have here spelled out two options for how to live. You can either live in the spirit of selfishness and your flesh, or you can live in the spirit of Jesus and you can produce faith fruits. Let's pick up in verse 16 of Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Well, let's pray. Dear Father, oh, dear Father, in these moments that are so precious and sacred, there is much on the line. I pray that we would come to full spiritual attention, and especially these graduates, that they might receive from your Spirit your transforming truth that can make all the difference. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me point out two quick things, and on your worksheet, please note, laziness comes naturally, and number two, self-discipline must be developed. Here's one of the greatest truths I know. You will either bear the burden of discipline or regret. Now let that sink down. All of us will either bear the burden of discipline or regret. Now, we all have a natural lean toward laziness. Laziness comes naturally, I've discovered. Did you know that laziness has a first cousin, an ugly first cousin called procrastination? And laziness and procrastination are like professional thieves, and they can pick the lock on any home or office or school environment. And when they come in, they will rob you of productivity and exchange it for excuses and embarrassment. Now, there's a better way. These two thieves will talk you into compromise, and they will talk you into rationalization. It works like this. Now, let's imagine that early one day you get up and you go to the bathroom scales, which have been covered with dust and cobwebs due to a lack of cleanliness and a lack of use. And so you step on those scales, and blinking back at you is this shocking number. And you look down and you think, oh no, I've got to do something about this. I've got to change. And the duet of laziness and procrastination, they'll begin to sing to you. They'll sing, start your diet tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's the theme song of laziness and procrastination. Put it off on tomorrow. Move over to a place called Someday Isle. You see, that's where so many people live in laziness, on Someday Isle. Someday, oh, someday I'll lose that weight. Someday I'll be a really good marriage mate. Someday I'll start saving money. Someday I'll finish my education. Someday I'll get in shape. Someday I'll read the Bible and become a student of God's Word. Someday I'll begin to serve and give back. Someday I'll. Anybody living there? You see, that's where laziness and procrastination want you to park so that you waste your opportunities. My friend, here's what I want you to understand. Laziness comes natural, and it produces three terrible fruits. Let me point them out to you. The first one, the Bible says, it produces the fruit of poverty. Poverty, yeah. Proverbs 6, verse 10 and 11 puts it like this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Proverbs 24, 34 puts it like this in the Message. Sluggards will have poverty as their permanent house guest. Solomon observes that if you are filled with laziness and procrastination, it will create poverty. Poverty in your bank account, poverty in your relationship account, poverty in your intellectual account, poverty in your spiritual account. You see, there is the better way, and that is the way of discipline. Now, please don't mishear me. Not everyone who is poor is lazy. But what the Bible is saying is that there is a strong connection between long-term laziness and eventual poverty. I would observe along with you that there are people who are poor as parents because it takes a lot of work to be engaged and to create borders and boundaries for your kids. Now, Mary Ruth and I have had the privilege of raising 4 kids, and we've been so blessed to have the partnership of this church. But I've discovered that if you want to hurt your child, you don't have to beat them every day. You don't have to hold their nose and pour booze down their gullet. You know, all you have to do is do nothing. Just don't care. Just sit in your lazy boy and watch TV. Don't care about who their friends are. Don't care about the media that they watch. Don't care about what kind of grades they make. Don't care about assessing their talents and abilities. Just don't care. Just be disengaged. And I can guarantee you, you will raise some children that are very poorly equipped to tackle their life and their future successfully. For instance, if you want to be poor in spirit, if you want to have poverty in your spiritual life, it's really simple. Just do nothing. Just keep your Bible closed. Keep your knees unbowed in prayer. Rarely go to church and be with the people of God. And your spiritual poverty will come in and take over. You see, we are naturally lazy, friends, but laziness will produce a poverty in you that will be destructive. Secondly, observe this with me. Laziness also produces frustration, not only poverty, but frustration. Yeah, the scripture says in Proverbs 10, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eye, so are sluggards to those who send them out. You see, we're going to bear the burden of discipline or the burden of regret. You've got this satisfaction that comes from productivity and hard work, but there's a frustration which comes from laziness. So let me ask you this. Are you always running behind? Do you rarely finish your projects? Are you constantly late? Does your life seem out of control instead of exercising self-control? Well, then let me help you out. You could be a lazy person. And especially if you find that the people around you are always irritated in the same way smoke irritates your eyes, if the people around you, if your family members, if your teammates, if your church mates, if your workmates, if they're irritated by you, it could be that you are imprisoned in laziness. When I was in seminary, I always think of this verse linked to my seminary experience. I was at New Orleans Seminary. And I had a night job. I went to seminary during the day, and I worked for a yellow freight company. It was this company that you would move freight all over the country. And I was working in the summer in the New Orleans office. I had the 11 p.m. to the 7 a.m. shift. And it was some kind of hard work. But I've been blessed. I grew up in a family that taught me the value of work, and my faith has taught me the value of working hard. So I was going to seminary during the day and working at night. And I remember it was so hot. I mean, New Orleans has humidity about 120%. And I was in the back of this big truck, and we were taking out these boxes. I was sweating like a maniac. And I noticed that the guy that was supposed to be unloading that particular set of boxes with me was asleep in the back. It was about 3 in the morning. So you know what I did? I decided to call him out, and he decided to cuss me out. But I'm glad I called him out, because then he came out and he started doing his part. I was irritated with his lack of responsibility. Now, friend, do you know what this message is all about? It's calling each other out to be who God has designed us to be. Oh, don't be a source of frustration to yourself, to others, and to the Lord. Don't create poverty in your life. And here's the worst one. Don't create waste in your life. Number 3, you see, laziness will create poverty, frustration, and waste. Listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew 25, Jesus makes this far-reaching, very disturbing statement. Jesus is in the process of telling this famous parable about the talents. And he tells how this owner of the land, and that's Jesus, has given talents to 3 trusted servants. To one he gave 5, 1, 2, and another one just 1. And then he goes off, and he's going to come back and have an accounting. You see, one day we'll die, and we'll stand before the Lord, and he will have us give an accounting for the way we've used the talents he's given to us. And do you know what Jesus said? Look on your worksheet. The 2 who did good, and they multiplied what the master had given them, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who did a bad job with his one talent, the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered, and yet you did nothing?" Do you know what Jesus is linking? He is linking wickedness to laziness. You see, you can be evil by refusing to do anything. In the Bible, there are sins of commission. It's what you do. But there are also sins of omission, knowing what to do and refusing to do it. My friend, I urge you, avoid that category, because we learn here that by doing nothing, you can lose everything. You know what they say, if you snooze, you lose. If you don't use it, you will lose it. So here's the goal. Let's defeat laziness and that bad fruit by pursuing self-discipline. And it's got to be developed. And let me show you how. I've got to give you a quick illustration. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 29, "Do you see a man who is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings." All right, it was just yesterday morning. I'm up early. I live near Jeff Davis High School. I'm walking around the track trying to fight time and gravity. That's what I do every day, trying to keep this old body up to speed and healthy. So I'm walking the track at JD, and I look up and I see this amazing sight. I see these two young gentlemen. On the left, there's a man named Jim Chappelle. And on the right, you see a young man named Chase St. Julian. So I see them out there at 8 in the morning on a Saturday working out by themselves, and I'm really impressed with these guys. So I snap their picture, and then I walk up to say, "Hey, I'm Pastor Jay Wolf at First Baptist Church." And that big fellow, the coach on the left, Jim, says, "Oh, I know you. My granddad's a pastor, and we talk about you." And so I'm introduced myself to Chase. Chase is 13 years old, and he's a seventh grader. And this young man is a hoss. And I quoted him this scripture. I said, "Chase, I'm going to tell you this, brother. If you will be faithful and hardworking and diligent in private, you are going to be applauded in public." That's what the scripture says. You see, you will be known. I said, "One day you may be winning that Hitchcock Award. One day you may be playing for one of those great college football teams if you keep working hard. But what does it require?" You see, it requires self-control, self-discipline. So let me ask you this. Do you have it? Well, here's how. Number one, wake up and do a self-evaluation. Wake up and see if you have self-discipline. Scripture says in Proverbs 6:9, "How long will you lie there? When will you get up from your sleep?" Here's a self-discipline evaluation. Let's see how you respond to these questions. Just listen carefully. Do you complete assignments on time? If you do, that means you're self-disciplined. If you don't, you've got an issue here. Do you stay on the task? Number three, do you persist until a task is finished? Number four, can you ignore peer pressure? Number five, do you exercise control over your temper, your time, and your tongue? And last, do you control your appetites for food, entertainment, pleasure, sleep, recreation, or material possessions? If you say you have trouble with some of these, then let's go to number two. Let's move from wake up to get up. Get up is simply, let's make a plan, because Proverbs 29:18 says, "Without a vision, the people will perish." Following an evaluation, you need a plan creation. And the plan creation always is like a tool, and that tool has two components. It's a to-do list and a timetable. Let me give you an example. Let's just imagine that you want to do a better job managing your weight. Well, I had a friend that I talked to just this last week, and he has lost a ton of weight in our church. And I said, "All right, what have you been doing?" He said, "Jay, it was so simple. I went to my doctor, and this doctor friend gave me a lurid warning about my blood sugar and cholesterol and heart health. And he said, if I didn't start changing something really quick, I would be in deep weeds soon." And he got my attention. So I decided to do something really simple starting that day. If it's white, I don't bite. That's what he said. I eliminated sugar. I eliminated carbohydrates, bread, rice. If it's white, I don't bite. In other words, if it tastes good, I don't eat it. That's pretty much the size of it. And I started walking. The first morning, I could barely walk a mile. but now I'm up to almost 4. And he said, this year I have lost painlessly 72 pounds. And he said, my blood sugars are perfect and my heart is right. Praise God. What did he do? He went to work. He engaged self-discipline. You see, let's just say that you don't like where you are educationally. Well, then what you need is to start a plan. Get a to-do list and a timetable and go to work on it. What if you don't like where you are financially? Do you know what you need to do to defeat debt? Well, first of all, you do plastic surgery. Cut up some of those cards, those plastic little cards. That'll help you. And then what do? Get a to-do list and get a time schedule and start chipping away at it. You can do it. What if you want to grow spiritually? Do you know how simple it is? It begins with the battle of the alarm clock. You set your alarm 20 minutes earlier. And when that alarm goes off, instead of kicking it under the bed, you get up and you open up the living Word of God and you connect yourself to God's Word and God's people, and you will grow. Now, let's go to number 3. Number 3 is a link up. Get some help. Link up. Get some help. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 11, many advisors make victory sure. God has not made you for isolation, my dear friend, but for connection. It says in Proverbs 27:17 that just as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I would urge you to connect to some people who are ahead of you, because those who walk with the wise will grow wise, and let them mentor you. Now, that takes a little humility. I remember when I was in high school, my best friend was Lynn Liddell. And Lynn and I were best friends. We were brothers in Christ. Oh, we prayed together. We were in the Word together. We started a Christian club at the school together, at Georgetown High School. We did sports together, but we mainly studied together. He was a really smart guy. And because we were iron sharpening iron when we graduated, he was the valedictorian and I was the salutatorian. Now, we only had a class of 4, so it wasn't that big a deal, but I felt pretty good about it. But don't miss the point. The point is, you've got to be humble enough to get somebody to help you. Let's just say your marriage is not where it needs to be. Well, why languish in a dysfunctional, diseased marriage when we've got people like Charles Hamilton in our church, and we have a marriage mentor program that can allow your marriage to connect to somebody else's and they can help pull yours up? Why would you want to languish in debt and be a captive to debt when there are people here that will help you pull out of debt? You see, you've got to have the humility to solicit a counselor. So, graduates, that's what I want you to always do. Have that kind of humble spirit that will allow you to be a learner, a continual learner who can learn from anyone. And then lastly, you got to step up. That means begin today. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only who deceives yourself. Friends, here is God's call. God's call is this simple. Move right now off of someday aisle. Quit saying, someday I'll do it. Stop the procrastination and the hesitation, and instead move to God's path of self-discipline today. Let's pray. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.